Over the last several weeks, we've been talking about the theme that the leadership in the RCA has chosen to help focus the ministries of the churches of our denomination over the next 15 years. And that theme is transformed and transforming. And along with that is the subtitle, which we studied the next week, Radically Following Christ in Mission Together. Transforming, of course, is changing completely. Something radically different. Not just a little bit of change. Something radical. And so then we studied how Jesus cultivated in his disciples that change. How he nurtured it. How he encouraged it. And how we, as the people of God, need to nurture and encourage change in our lives, in the lives of the people around us, to cultivate like a farmer does his field. Make it easy to make that change. And then last week we talked about equipping people to be leaders. And one of the bottom line things that came out last week is that many of us are already equipped to be leaders in one way or another. And God can take what you already have and rechannel it, refocus it, so that you can become a leader of God's people, leaders in the church. But again, where we all fall down most is our lack of knowledge and understanding. And so we need to study. One of the verses last week, study to show yourself approved unto God. And so that you can rightly spread out the word of God to the people around. So we need to equip one another. Well, today, the third one is engaging in Christ's kingdom mission. Simply, how do we do what God calls us to do? And do is an important word there. Now, it's important that we be what God calls us to be, but being really isn't something that takes a lot of effort. We just are, aren't we? And so if we come and we sit in a pew, we are being here. And I think God calls us to be here. But then he sets forth for us a mission, something that we ought to do. And so, first of all, we have to know what that mission is, and then we have to engage in it. Do it. Perhaps you remember, a little over a year ago, we spent quite a bit of time and effort in trying to figure out what is God calling the Winnebago Reformed Church to be and to do. And so I would like you to take your bulletins and look at the back of the bulletin. And down at the bottom here, you'll see our purpose is we envision the Winnebago Reformed Church. Our mission is to. You see those things or portions of that every Sunday. It's posted on our walls around the church. If you look up here, most of the slides along the bottom is one of those statements, our vision, our purpose, or our mission. In the bulletin, every week on the back of it, are those three statements. And as I talk about engaging in Christ's mission, I want you to keep that in front of you. And look at the words that are in our mission statement. So when we talk about engaging in Christ's kingdom mission, we should not be strangers to that thought. Let me read the mission that we have agreed upon as a congregation. Our mission is to provide opportunity, to provide facility, to provide education, to provide example, to provide encouragement, all of this to the people of the church, but also to the people of the community, and not just that, but also beyond our community. So the church itself has that as our mission. That's what we determine. This is why this construct and the people that gather in it have been saved over the last 100 years to be this group of people, this church. But we as individuals have our own mission. Now, I know you've all somewhere in your life run across that movie and television series, Mission Impossible. And it always starts with the leader getting his assignment. This is what you are to do. And it's up to him to figure out how to make it happen. And that's what's enjoyable about the program, is watching how they make this mission, how they get it accomplished. So, we're going to look a little bit at what is our individual mission as we are called to be part of Jesus' kingdom. Our first scripture then comes from Luke 4, 16 to 21. If you want to follow along in the Pew Bibles, it's page 1018. And again, as I read this, also keep this mission statement in your bulletin in front of you. And see if you can see some similarities here. Luke 4, starting at the 16th verse. He, that's Jesus, went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place, and it happens to be Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2, where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Now, if you read a little bit further, the people got angry. "Who do you think you are, saying that you are the fulfillment of scripture? You're calling yourself the promised one of God, the Messiah, the Christ." Well, in fact, he was. But they didn't want to hear it. And I would suggest to you that since Jesus' life and death and resurrection and ascension into heaven, now we, as the body of Christ, the church, have the responsibility to accomplish those things that were prophesied in Isaiah. And that's why I think that you should see some similarity between what Jesus read there out of the prophecy and our mission statement. You might remember that when John the Baptist was in prison, he sent some of his students to Jesus. And they said, "Are you the Christ? Are you the promised one?" And Jesus didn't just say yes. He said, "Stick around for a day." And then he quoted them this piece of scripture. And so they watched to see if, in fact, he was proclaiming freedom for prisoners, good news to the poor, sight for the blind, setting the oppressed free, and so on. And they went back to John and said, "Yep. This is the one." And so I'm going to ask you, if someone were to follow you around for a day or two or a week, would they see that you are accomplishing this mission? In Acts 1, verse 8, this is Jesus. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the world." And so that is Jesus telling us, okay, you've got that responsibility now. I'm gone, physically. But I'm sending my Spirit to be in you, to give you the ability to carry on my mission, to do the things that I'm supposed to accomplish. Now, our leaders have given us a list, a number of things that they think will help us fulfill this expectation. I'm going to put them in my own words. Keep in mind this mission statement from the bulletin as I read them, because I want you to see that there is a similarity between what our leaders are telling us and what we've already determined that we ought to be doing. First one, making our Christian life relevant in ways that we have not yet explored. Concentrating on raising our children properly and involving them in the work of the church. And I could go on and on about that, because I really feel that one of the terrible weaknesses in the church is that we do not teach our children how to be children of God. We don't even teach them how to be good children. And part of that is because we are not good parents. And I know that's a slap in the face, but often it's true. And when our children aren't what they ought to be, it's because we haven't taught them what they ought to be. And again, I could go on and on. Number three, being the hands and feet of Jesus to the people we meet each day. How does God work on this earth? Usually it's not through miracles. Usually it's through people like us. And we live a life of example. People say, yeah, that's what I want to be like. We live a life of teaching. Not letting people learn, but rather actively helping them to learn. You know, when something happens in your life, do you explain it in light of the Bible? Can you quote scripture that will help understand what happened? Can you relate the problems that you have in your life with the problem solver, Jesus? I think lots of times we live our own life and we forget that God is willing to be part of our healing. Number four, encouraging justice, compassion, and healing in relationships. Justice. That's the way it's got to be, the law. Okay. But compassion. That's how we make the law work. And then healing, reconciling people to one another, healing relationships. How many of us go through life holding a grudge against people or persons? I will not go into that building unless somebody else is not there. I've heard that. If we've got that kind of brokenness between us and other people, we're not going to be complete ourselves until we can heal that brokenness. It'll always fester. And so part of our mission is to allow God to work in our lives and heal that separation that we have between us. Number five, growing the church outside our community as well as at home and helping to provide the resources to do it. You know, for a long time, we've looked at ourselves here and we said, we can't afford any more than what we've got. We can't even afford what we have. How should we be required to help somebody else? Folks, it's not all about money. God has blessed us in our community in so many ways. I can talk about the physical blessings because you can ride past that beautiful school building. You can ride past the EduCare that's being built. You can ride past the Ball Diamonds out there. You can look at the Blackhawk Center. You can see the pool. We have so many things. Ho-Chunk Center over here in the stores. We are blessed in so many physical ways. And we've got churches in this town. And we've got people in this town that care about people. We've got a hospital. God blesses us with so much. And he says, when I give you something, it's not just for you. It's for the people around you. There's so much more than the physical things. It's the caring that you extend to people around you. It's the opportunity that you give for other people to share with you. We have the obligation to share with people in our community and beyond. And quite frankly, one of the ministries that this church has is that we help Central Reformed Church of Sioux Center to fulfill God's calling by allowing them to come and teach our children. We are part of First Reformed Church in Sioux Center because we provide opportunity for them to use the resources that God has given them. The physical resources mostly, but some are spiritual resources. This past year, over 100 people came to Winnebago because God had given them reason to come. And we have the obligation to share with them what we have. A receptiveness to the Word of God. A chance to share with one another, with other Christians. Not poor, downtrodden people, but equals in the family of God. And we have the obligation, when people come here, to encourage them in their faith walk. Because God has blessed us with the ability to do so. And if we have a mission team that comes here and they leave discouraged because they didn't feel that what they did here was worth anything, that's our fault. And we are accountable to God because he has blessed us with the ability to share that encouragement. That's part of our mission. Number 6. Making the growth of Jesus' family an important personal commitment. I think it's fair to say that most people come and they sit in the pew and they get up and they leave and they say, okay, I've accomplished what I'm supposed to do this week. And their commitment to God is 2 hours on Sunday morning. And you walk out and say, I've done it, I've taken care of, and I don't have to be back until next Sunday or maybe 2 or 3 Sundays later when I owe God a little more time. Folks, that's not commitment. Commitment is when part of us is invested in the growth of something else. And it works toward that end. If you are committed to something, that means that you place a higher priority on that than other things. So let's put it this way. If I am committed to taking care of my children, then if it's a choice, do I give money to this mission or do I give money to the one that my children are involved in, then it would make sense, because I'm committed to my children, that I would support them. Make sense? If I'm committed to football, and I like pro football, and that's where my commitment lies, then don't you try to schedule something on my Sunday afternoon. Because my commitment is to football. That's my high priority. On the other hand, if I'm committed to the people of this church and to the fellowship thereof, and it runs over noon and into the afternoon, and I miss the football game, that's okay, because I am committed to the people here. My priority is to the people, not to the ball game. So, when we ask, are you committed to the work of Jesus Christ? Have you decided, all right, this is important. This has a higher priority than some of the other things. And that means, are you willing to do what that requires? Number 7, planting new congregations to do more of the same. As a denomination, our leaders look at a large geographical area. And they say, there's a lot of people out there that don't have any kind of commitment to Jesus Christ. They don't have anybody coming alongside them and saying, here, let me help you be what God wants you to be. And so we, as the Church of Jesus Christ, are being asked to build other congregations. Now, they aren't separate entities outside of ourselves. They are rather an extension of us. There is only one Church of Jesus Christ. That's all believers. And so when we go out and we worship in another church building with a different group of people, it's just incidental that their geography is different from ours. They are part of us, and we are part of them, if in fact we are all part of the body of Christ. And we want to spread that to others. Well, we could go on and on with lists. We could spend lots of time on it. There are lots of things that we can name that we could do. But the important word in this strategy is the first word, engaging. I think probably all of you know the movies and the TV show Star Trek. And they get into a situation and the captain, they figure everything out. And then when everything's in place, what happens? Yeah. Engage. Get it done. If you just sit in the pew, nothing's going to happen. But God is calling us to be the body of Christ, the hands and the feet and the voice of Jesus to the people that we meet. Very quickly, an example. A lawyer came to Jesus. And he said, what must I do to be saved? And Jesus says, well, you're a lawyer. You know the law. What does it say? Well, the lawyer said, it says, let me read it. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said, that's right. Well, the lawyer was embarrassed. He said, I knew the answer, and I asked him a question. So he said, well, who's my neighbor? And Jesus told a story. He said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he was attacked by robbers, and they stripped him of his clothes, and they beat him, and they went away, leaving him for dead. And a priest happened to be going down the same road, and he saw the man, and he passed over on the other side. And so too, a Levite came and he saw the man and he passed over on the other side. And then came a Samaritan, scum of the earth. Jews and Samaritans didn't get along well together. And he saw him, and he took pity on him. And he went and he bandaged his wounds and poured oil and wine on them. And he put the man on his own donkey and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, look after him. And when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense that you have. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell among robbers? And the lawyer said, well, the Samaritan man, the one who had mercy on him. And Jesus said, go and do likewise. Now, we always take that story and we look at the question that the man said, who is my neighbor? But Jesus didn't just stop with defining who was our neighbor, who we do it to. He said, now that you know who you do it to, engage. Get busy. Don't be a pew sitter. Be the church of God. Be Jesus to the people that you meet every day. Let's pray together. Almighty God, again we come to you and we just thank you for who you are. We thank you that you've called us and that you've given us purpose. And then that you have defined for us what it is that we do, the mission that we have as your people. And so Lord, send us out now. Give us the strength. Give us the commitment. Give us the encouragement to be your people in Winnebago and in the world. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.